Morning, Desert Hope. Hey, awesome to see you guys today. We are in week three of a new message series entitled A New Beginning. God is up to something new in our church, new in our community, new in us, so that he can work his power and his grace through us. And I'm excited about this series. It's called A New Beginning because the Spirit of God is stirring our hearts. If you were with us in week one, we asked a very challenging question. And that is, what needs to end so that we can begin something new? And sometimes we get creative and we get passionate about starting something new, but before we get going in a new direction, we have to really bring to an end some things that are good, but maybe not of God. And that's a challenging thing that takes time to ask the question. Maybe it's a thing in your personal life or maybe your family or your business. What needs to end so that we can move into a new beginning? In week two, we then started to think about moving forward in faith. And there were two things that I said last week that I wanted you to know. Number one, I wanted you to know that God's presence is always with you. God's presence is with us. Amen, church? He is here. He's working. He has brought us together in this time and season of life for ministry. God's presence is here. Never forget that. And number two, I want you to believe that the work of God is unfolding all around us. I believe the Spirit of God is stirring in our hearts in such a way that in time, in season, we will see a new working of God's grace in our life that we do not yet see now. God is working in new ways. And today, this is the big idea. This is what I want you to get today. As we move forward into the future that God has for Desert Hope, we need a fresh touch from God. We need a fresh touch from God. Now, I know many of you have come to me with some of your observations, and today I'm going to come to you with a few of my observations. Now, I've been here for a long 3 weeks. That's a long time, I know. But there are some things that I have observed, and one of those is that some of us are tired. Some of us are worn out. We are ready to see someone rise up, someone to step into a calling of God in their life, in our church, in our community. Some of us are so tired that we're really starting to ask the question, can I even go on anymore? Many of you have been so faithful in season and out of season in this, your church, that you are worn out. And we're going to see in our lesson today, like Elijah, that's a good place to be, because when you are in a place of total desperation for God to move in your life, God will give you a fresh touch. And that's what we need as a church. We need a fresh touch from God. Burnout is on the horizon in the church. I talk with pastors, ministry leaders every day that are burning out by the hundreds, unable to keep up with the constancy of change that's unfolding. Retirement is almost like, okay, you're 40 years old, man. You're not ready to retire. I hear pastors saying, I got to get out of this. I can't keep up. You know the 80-20 rule where 20% of the people do 80% of the work? Well, I believe that has accelerated to a 10-90 where 10% of the people are doing 90% of the work. And left unchecked, I can tell you exactly where that will lead us. It will lead us to a maintenance mentality rather than a missional direction. We will say, okay, this is where we are. We only have 10% of the people. We'll just get by for another season of life in ministry until someone else comes along. And before long, we'll find ourselves in a maintenance mode. Let's just keep the lights on around here. One more week. Let's just keep the doors open. One more month. But I tell you what, many churches are there today, but thanks be to God, that's not where this church is. That's not where we are. We are missional minded. We're looking for opportunities to be a blessing to the city of Tucson and to the people around the world, and our partnerships are continuing to grow. My awareness of our connections in the community continue to deepen. But we are a church on mission to praise the name of Jesus who changes lives. Amen? And when you come into the presence of a God who changes lives, you are sent into your workplace, into your schools with the life-changing message of Jesus Christ. Hear the good news today. Here's the good news. This is what I want to say. Jesus is the God who refreshes our souls. Are you weary today? He's the God who says, come to me and I will refresh your soul, like Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He restores, he refreshes, he rejuvenates my soul. Jesus is the God who restores what the enemy has taken. And it seems like we have lost a year in COVID. But what seems like a year in one blink of an eye is a moment in God's time. And the enemy has been stirring, has been bringing division. I mean, look at the newspaper. Read your Facebook and your Twitter feeds and your Instagram accounts. You'll see all the division in our world today. There is a solution. His name is Jesus, and he brings everyone under the cross at the same place. And he says, apart from me, you shall not live. But in me, in the renewing of my presence in your life, as you say, you know what, I'm chief among sinners, I need Jesus to forgive me of my sins, he will give you a new life. He refreshes our souls. Jesus restores what the enemy has taken, and he reestablishes a fresh connection with our Heavenly Father. Does anyone here today need a fresh connection with God? Well, let me tell you something. You are in the right place, because this church is a church where you can say, I've got problems. I've always said this in my life. I'm a real guy with real issues, but I know a real God with real solutions. We don't have to fake this thing we call church. We can come in and say, God, I'm desperately in need of a mighty touch of your Holy Spirit. And as your new pastor, I want to say, we are in need of a mighty outpouring of God's grace and mercy on our congregation. If we are going to launch into the new direction that God has for us, if we're going to embrace the Spirit's move in our life to break our hearts for those who have yet to come to life-saving faith in Jesus, then we have to begin by saying, God, this is a place where all are welcome. Doesn't matter what you look like. Doesn't matter what you talk like. Doesn't matter what you believe. No, you belong here. This is a safe place for you to explore who God is. And when you put yourself in that place, God will change hearts and lives. So I invite you to grab your Bibles, if you have your Bibles, 1 Kings chapter 19. All that, by the way, was free. All that was my introduction, so there you go. 1 Kings 19. We're going to pick it up in verse 1. And while you're turning there in your Bibles, let me give you a little snapshot of Elijah's life. Now, Elijah is one of the very few prophets of God that are left. He's discouraged. He's lonely. He's depressed. He's exhausted. He has just gone up against 450 of the prophets of Baal. If you read your Bible in 1 Kings chapter 18, check out that chapter, because right before chapter 19, we see Elijah going up against false prophets, 450 of them. And Elijah said, okay, if we're going to come down to the grips of who the real God is, you grab your prophets, and there's Elijah standing by himself. It's 450 against one. Now, that's fair, right? 450 against one. He said, you make your altar, you make your sacrifice, and you call on the name of your God, and I'll do the same. I'll make an altar with a sacrifice. I'll call on the name of my God, and we'll get down to the bottom of this, see who the real God truly is. And what does he do? But he calls the people to accountability. In 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21, he says this to the people, how long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, well, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him. You see, the people are tied between two opinions. And how often do we get ourselves tied between two opinions? You see, King Ahab was married to Jezebel. Jezebel was the daughter of Ethbaal, and Ethbaal was the king of Sidon. And before Ethbaal became the king of Sidon, he was the priest of Astarte. And Astarte is the Greek form of the moon god. That is who they worshiped. There are three main contributors to idol worship in the Old Testament: Ashtoreth, Baal that we see today, and Molech. And we see now Astarte being worshipped. Jezebel from the king of Sidon territory comes in, they intermarry, and now they're divided between who to serve. Do we serve God, Yahweh, or do we serve Baal? And Elijah confronts the people, and Jezebel starts putting people to death because their stance for Yahweh. And he falls into a deep place of discouragement, depression. So let's look at his story. This is 1 Kings 19. We're going to pick it up here in verse 3, where Elijah is incredibly discouraged. Jezebel has a threatened over his life to take his life. And after the sacrifice was consumed by God, the people fell to their knees and they said, Yahweh is God. And all their prophets, all the prophets of Baal, were slaughtered. And the one true God said, I told you, my glory will only be my glory. The Lord said in Exodus chapter 20, I am the Lord, your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. And that's exactly what Elijah was doing. Hey, this is the one true God. And that led him to what we're about to read next. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 3. Elijah was afraid and he ran for his life. Of course he would. Who wouldn't? Jezebel had a death threat over his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there. I'll stop there for a moment. This is one thing that you don't want to do when you get discouraged, when you get depressed. Don't isolate yourself. That's going to be a natural tendency to isolate yourself, to remove yourself. That's what Elijah did. He went away by himself, verse 4, a day's journey into the wilderness. And he came to a broom bush. He sat down under it and he prayed. Here's his prayer. God, take my life. Can you imagine? Can you imagine getting to this place in your life where your prayer life is, God, just take me away. Take me, Lord, to be with you. I am done. He said, take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. And he lay down under the bush and he fell asleep. This is what I want to say. I want to talk about depression for a few moments and anxiety and worry, because we see an accelerated point of moving in this direction as a nation, as a country. Depression is a real thing. It's not a figment of one's imagination. It is a concrete reality of one's existence. It's a real deal. It's a real struggle. I was recently reading the state of mental health in 2021, and from January to September of 2020, there has been a rise in anxiety and depression of 93%. 93%, and from 2019, a rise of 62%. Now, this is nothing new, right? Mental awareness has been before us before, but COVID has accelerated this beyond numbers. More people are reporting frequent thoughts of suicide and self-harm than ever before since 2014. And you know who it's affecting the most? Our kids. Our children. And I want to say this. If you are here today and you are struggling with depression or anxiety or worry or fear, I want to say this. It is okay not to be okay, because Jesus is okay. He has it all under control. You can say, God, I'm a mess today. I can't get my thoughts right. Now, you don't want to stay there. You want to seek medical advice. You want to get help. We believe in doctors and the physicians, and God can move His healing presence and power through that profession. But what I'm saying to you today is it is okay to not be okay, because Jesus has it all under control. He is your healer. He is your chief physician. And when you come to Him and say, God, I need your help today. I'm struggling with my thoughts. I'm struggling in getting through this season of brokenness in my life. My marriage fell apart and I don't understand why, but God, I am hurting. Or my children, my goodness, would you help me, God? That one's way over there. They've turned their back on you. God, would you help me? I'm deeply, deeply depressed. I need Jesus' love in my life. It's okay not to be okay, because Jesus is okay. You know, in my life, when I was in college and shortly after college, I was diagnosed with clinical depression and I was placed on antidepressants. And I was a mess. I couldn't find my purpose. Burnout of music at North Texas, and had no place else to go in my life. That's all I did for 22 years of my life, is play the drums and play percussion. It was ripped away from me. I found myself in the hospital, not knowing what to do, where to go. He said, Brian, you have clinical depression. And that was the lowest season of my life. But at that place is where Jesus came and He touched. At that place of, God, I have nowhere else to go. At the lowest low in my life, in the darkest night of my soul, there I was on my knees. I had tried everything else. I had made music my God. And the Lord finally broke through in my life. He said, Brian, I've been trying to get your attention for 22 years, and you have made a good thing that I have given to you to be a God thing. And you have turned Genesis 11 into your own reality and the Tower of Babel. And God confused my language in that moment to where only I could say, God, I surrender. I need a touch from you, God. In fact, I can't go on another day unless you touch me, Jesus. I don't want to live another day until you touch me, Jesus. I've heard about you. I've been in church my whole life, but Jesus, I need you to touch me today. And that day changed my life. It was 2004 at the age of 22 when God touched me and He relived in His power my baptism. And my grandfather baptized me when I was a baby. And he brought me back to my baptism. And he said, Brian, my promises are still yes and amen. Receive them by faith. You are washed in my blood. He gave me another story. It wasn't a story of defeat. It wasn't a story of depression. It was a story that God is my Savior. That God has changed my life. See, what I'm saying today is this. If we are going to move forward as a church, we need. I'm not suggesting today. I'm not saying, oh yeah, by the way, it might be a good idea. No. We need a fresh touch from God. This is verse 5b. All at once. Say that with me. All at once. And when God comes in, He comes in all at once. All at once, an angel of the Lord, here it is, circle it, underline it, touched him. And he said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. I was talking with my wife this week on the message and sharing a little bit with her, and she said something pretty profound. She said, "You know, sometimes we just need a nap and a snack." I like that. Amen. Sometimes we just need a nap and a snack. He ate the bread. He drank what God had provided for him, and then he lay back down again. You see, when it looks like it's all over, that is when God is up to something new. When you're sitting in that dark place, in that hospital room, and it looks like there is no hope, no way you can move forward, that's when God says, "Here is something new. Here's a blessing that you've never seen come into your life." It comes in unexpected ways. When it looks like everything is lost and all hope is gone, God is up to something new. That's what he did for Elijah. He touched him. And that's what I believe God's going to do for you today. He's going to touch you. He's going to provide for your needs. For Elijah, it was bread and a few hours to rest. I wonder what you need today that God's going to provide for you right now, today, as he touches you. He touched him, he provided for his needs, and the angel of the Lord stepped in to do only what the angel of God can do. And I want to say this to you today. God is here to touch lives. He is here to refresh our souls. But one touch is not going to cut it. You know, I could sit down with you over coffee and tell you about that story 2004 when I was 22. But that was the beginning of what God brought me back to years ago in the waters of holy baptism, where Jesus forgave me of my sins and gave me the promise of eternal life. Maybe today you just need to hear, it's okay not to be okay. You can say, "God, I need you today to touch me afresh. Touch me anew. I need purpose, God. I need passion. I need to be able to get up and to provide for my kids, and I just don't feel like it." God is here, I believe, and one touch isn't going to cut it. Maybe you were touched years ago at some church revival, but I believe God wants to touch you anew right here and right now. A second touch. See, look at this. Elijah was touched. And then what happens in verse 7? The angel came back to him a second time. I love this. One touch wasn't enough. A second time. And he said, "Get up and eat." Why? Why do you need multiple touches? Why do you need a daily experience in God's word? Why do you need a continual heart of surrender so that God can do his work in you? Because the journey is too much for you. The journey for us as a church is too much if we don't fall to our face and say, "God, I need you. A fresh touch, God. You're doing a new thing in our church, God. Touch me new today." If you're watching online and you stay wherever you are in your living room, or maybe you're in your kitchen, or you're on the road and you're desperate for God to show up in your life, God is calling you today. He's not forgotten about you today. He has his eyes on you today, and he calls you to a place of surrender. Like what happened to me in 2004, a place of total surrender where you say, "God, you're the Lord." Maybe you're like the prophets of Baal, and you're wavering between two opinions, and God today is saying for you, "You're the Lord, and there is no other." I believe God is here. He wants to touch your life. He wants to minister to you. Do you need a fresh touch? A fresh word to encourage you on your journey of faith? I believe God's going to give it to you right here. So God, I pray for every person in this room. And God, I pray for every single person watching online this broadcast. I pray, God, that you would break in and break through by the power of your Holy Spirit, that God, we can say, this is a church where it's okay not to be okay, because God, we know you have it all under control. So God, I pray for that one person today who is struggling, who's depressed, who needs a fresh touch from you. They're hearing so many voices, so many discouraging thoughts, and God, you're doing a new work in them. You're calling them to a place of repentance. And just say this, if that's you, if I'm talking to you today and the Spirit of God is moving in your life, just say, God, I surrender today. I know that I can do nothing without you. But Jesus, in your name, I repent of my sin. I turn to you. And God, I hear your voice saying, come to me. Just come to me, all of you who are laden and heavy burdened by the depression and anxiety and the worry that you're carrying, and you will hear your Savior say, all is well. Thank you, Jesus, that you are touching us today. I pray this in Jesus' mighty and powerful name. Amen.